All right. Boy, it's good to be in church. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Glory to God. Hey, I need to have your help. I want you to pray for something that it goes okay. In school, I'm going to make a couple of changes. We've got current events. I don't know if you had ever did those when you were in school. It's been so long ago now, I don't even remember any current events from back when I was a kid, but we've got current events that we have to do in the school, and it dawned on me that to get a current event, you've got to go through a lot of garbage through the world to get a newspaper, to get the internet, and I really don't want the kids on the internet, to be real honest with you. So, and I really don't want them going through the newspapers, to be real honest with you, there's no good news in them either. So the more I got to thinking about it, and I really think that this will help, and I want you to pray about this. The Bible said that the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And the kids don't need to be taught how to pray, but what I'd like to do with the kids and what I'd like you to pray about, I want them to make a daily prayer journal. And I'm going to have them we'll have a piece of paper form and everything to fill out. And this is a personal thing. This is a honor system. I'm going to do away with the current events that the kids have to do, and I'm going to have them make a daily prayer journal instead. And what they'll do is they'll write down prayer requests, and at the end of the week, I want them to at least add one prayer request to their journal. And it's a daily thing. It's not something that we're just going to do once a month or do. It's going to be every single day that the kids will add these up, and then Brother Mark and I will take a look at them at the end of the week. They'll give them to us. This will be personal. They don't have to write down what they're praying about, but there'll be personal things that the kids will pray about, and they'll actually get graded on this. You say, well, that's bribery. Amen. I would love to bribe the kids to pray. Here's what it works out to me. What it boils down to is this. If I could just get one child, just one, to make that part of their life, where they would pray for the rest of their lives over a prayer journal of some sort, then I got to thinking, wouldn't it be great if we would make a prayer journal? The amen stopped there, didn't it? Now, I'm not talking about having homework, but I'm talking about, is your prayer life important enough to you where you'd be willing to sit and write down things to pray about? Sit and write down things that your brother Coolidge and Miss Robin make that prayer list. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's loaded. If you just went over the prayer list and prayed over the things that are on the prayer list, I mean, isn't that why we make that, Miss Robin? So to me, I thought about this, man, the church makes a daily prayer journal for us. Would to God we'd use it and pray over it. Would to God we'd make that part of our lives. And to me, I would like it to make it important enough to the kids to where forget the world. I don't care about the world's current events. Is that bad? I don't care about that. Good Lord, have mercy. The world is going where it's going to go. No matter what you can do, the kids need to come away from that more than going into it. Amen? Well, you say, well, Brother Dave, that's not what the state requires. Hogwash. I'm worried about what God requires, not what the state requires. That's a battle we fight every single year in the school. Are you accredited? Are you not accredited? I'm never going to be accredited. I hope that you understand that. I don't need the state's blessing on our school. We've got God's blessing on our school. And that's a fight that's coming. Don't misread me. I know that fight's coming, but we're never going to be accredited here. Not as long as I'm here anyways. The Lord's got his hand on us. We don't need anybody's help. Amen? Say amen to that. So anyways, pray with me about that. I think it's going to help. I really do. I think it's going to help if the kids learn that their prayers are important. Did you know that your prayers are important?
Yes.
Amen. So we're going to try to do that. So pray along with me that that'll go over well. I think the kids will be excited about getting out of the current events, I'll tell you that. But this daily prayer journal is going to be some work for them, and I think it's going to be great to do that. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 28. We're going to skip through some of the next things of Paul. I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about them, and we're going to finish the book of Acts today, Lord willing. If you think about what we did 2 weeks ago, Brother Mike did a fantastic job last week in Sunday school, very excited about the job that he did in Sunday school. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about Ananias bringing the orator to Tertullus. to witness against Paul, and Felix almost gets saved in 24, 25, but instead leaves Paul bound for a couple of years, and he ends up going in front of Festus, and Festus takes him and starts him on the way to talk to Caesar Augustus. He stops off to see King Agrippa and gives his testimony in chapter 26, and then Agrippa almost gets saved. We know about that, and I tell you, I think that's good for us to hear that every once in a while, because a lot of times we get discouraged. People get to the door, but they just don't step in. You ever had somebody like that where, man, you had them, you know, boy, it's time to lead him to the Lord. Here it is. They agree. Amen, 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 amen. And it gets right to the door and says, I'll hear you a little bit later about that. Or I'm not quite convinced yet. Almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. And what's sad about that is there's not a lot of times, I believe what Brother Gray and Brother Thompson said, there's not a lot of times you're going to get afforded the opportunity to hear the gospel presented to you. They say like three good times you're going to hear the gospel. I think that's a gift if you get three, because I'm going to tell you that the conversations that I've had lately with folks talking about how many times they've had the gospel presented to them, I thought to myself, I've only had the gospel presented to me twice, two times. That's it. 39 years old, two times. I talked to other people that said they've had it presented to them one time, and that was the time that just got presented to them. I'm going to tell you, folks, in this day and age, we need to be talking about our Savior a little bit more than we are. We need to make it more than just a second thought. We need to make it more than just a conversation piece. We need to make it part of our conversation, part of our lives. We need to think about that all the time. And I'm going to be honest with you, that's one thing that I admire about Paul. He realized who he was, but then he realized who Christ was too. And he wanted to tell everybody about it. And I'm going to be honest with you, I think that we need to keep that more in our minds, that don't worry about the people, whether they accept him or not. I hear this all the time. It's funny how we act as Christians. You get somebody that, you know, says the prayer and gets saved, and you go away, man, I wonder if they really meant that. Have you ever said that to yourself? Man, I wonder if they really meant that. Well, good Lord, if you worry about that every single time, you're never going to tell anybody about Christ. Don't worry, that's not your job. Your job is not whether they meant that or not. They may be shooing you off their porch. They may be. They may be saying, well, I'm just going to say that to get you off my back. Maybe. But at least you present it. At least they got the seed in their heart. Don't go in there with doubts right off the bat. Good Lord, that's what the devil wants to do, is put doubts in your head. Don't go in there with doubts. Go in there with power. Say, man, the Lord wants to save you today. If they accept him, say amen. You just can't go in thinking when you leave, and I wonder if they meant that. Hey, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. And I hope and pray that they did. But you did your job as a Christian by witnessing to those people. You really did your job. I'm going to be honest with you. I've got a whole room full of saved people here, I think. Amen. See, you can't look into the hearts of man. I can't look into your heart and say, well, you meant that, didn't you? I can't say that. I mean, I believe you are. My spirit bears witness that you are. But I'm going to be honest with you. It's amazing how you can go through life and you think that you know people are saved, but you really don't. Don't doubt somebody else's salvation. You got yours to worry about. Amen? All right, let's move on. So Festus gets him, takes him to King Agrippa. Agrippa almost gets saved. He sets sail in chapter 27. He's going towards Rome. He runs into a storm, a Euroclydon, which is a massive storm out of the east. Lord protects him and all of the ship, but the ship was lost. The island of Melita is the island that he lands on. Eventually, he gets there after many days of no sun and no moon. I mean, just literally no stars. The storm was so bad they couldn't even see very well. The folks of Melita, the barbarians, they called, the Bible calls them, treated Paul and the rest with great kindness. A viper snatched on his hand, and he shook it off, and they changed their minds. He thought he was a murderer at first. Well, man, he must be a murderer for that snake to jump out of the fire. He just got saved out of the ship. He must be a murderer, though, because now he's going to die from this viper bite. And then he doesn't die. So now they think he's a god. Amen? Can I help you a little bit? I read that for the, I don't know, probably the 50th time. Never dawned on me. You know what's funny about that thought? The barbarians thought he was a murderer, then he thought he was a god. They were right the first time. Grab a hold of that. Wrap your head around that for a second. Paul is going through all these great things. He's got the power of God on him. The power of God is on him. Wherever he goes, the power of God's on him. He just got through some of the most wonderful times of his life, and he's still healing people. Even here, you'll see, you're not going to see, but you're going to hear about it in a second. Literally, these people got Paul at one of the highlights of his ministry. And he was a murderer. He just got done telling his testimony twice. He sold his testimony to Agrippa. Listen, this is what happened with my life, King Agrippa. This is who I was. This is what the Lord found. This is what the Lord used. Hey, this is what I was. Certainly he can save a king, King Agrippa. And Agrippa, in just an absolute mind cramp, says, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. These barbarians take him in. Come on, you understand now that Paul was a prisoner. Paul wasn't a centurion on the ship. Paul wasn't the captain of the ship. Paul wasn't the guy who was in charge. Paul was a prisoner. He gets off the boat and they look at Paul and say, he must be a murderer. Then they say, oh, he must be a god, because he didn't die from this snake bite. Then they bring people to him. The guy that was there, Publius, was his name. His daddy was real sick, sick unto death. Paul heals him, puts his hands on him, and Paul heals him. Well, the Lord heals him through Paul. Paul heals him. Next thing you know, the whole town comes. Wouldn't you? Think about that for a minute. If you got a guy that was actually healing people, not Ernest Angley healing, not Benihana healing, or Benny Hinn, whatever that man's name is. I'm not talking about that kind of healing where you whack somebody on the forehead, they fall over, and two big guys pick them up. You ever notice how big those guys are on stage? Good Lord. Paul heals him. The town shows up. He healed many people. I wonder if the island of Melita ended up being full of saved people. Think about this for a minute. Think about the testimony Paul always had. Went to the barbarians. Think about that for a minute. There's Paul, the prisoner. Paul, the prisoner. They don't talk about anybody else on that boat. They talk about Paul. Paul, the prisoner, inbounds preaching. Preaching to people that maybe the folks around there are barbarians. I don't know what that means exactly. I think of barbarians as, you know, hairy people throwing spears and whipping swords around. That's what I think about barbarians. Don't know if they were that, but understand this. Paul goes to these people. He wasn't afraid of these people. They treated him kindly. The Lord moved their heart to treat him kindly. And after they treated him kindly, the Lord helps out their town by healing the leader's dad and then healing a bunch of people in the town through a prisoner. That got me to thinking. As I read on, and we're going to turn to the last chapter in Acts, Paul is an amazing individual that through all of these things, he still remains humble. Come on, you gotta think with me here. He's healing people. He puts his hands on them, and they are healed. The whole town comes to him, and because of Paul, because of Christ working through Paul, the whole town sends off the whole people. There were 276 souls on the boat. 276. They give them freely everything they need to leave the island and sail on. You understanding? You know how hard it is to get stuff out of people? They gave them freely. Now, I understand the town, a lot of the folks got healed of their sickness. But listen, Paul, through all this, didn't get on the boat and say, I'm now captain. Paul didn't get on the boat and say, hey, because of me, you got all this. Paul didn't get on the boat and say, hey, I'm the guy in charge now. It's because of me we're all right. You know what Paul got on the boat as? A prisoner. He got on the boat as a prisoner, still a prisoner. I want you to read with me. We're going to, in Acts chapter 28. And when they were escaped, this is verse 1, then they knew that the island was Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said amongst themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. After 3 months, we departed in the ship of Alexandria. 3 months! Do you see that? They took care of 276 people for 3 months, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days, and from thence we fetched a compass, finally got them a compass, and came to Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Paul is a prisoner! Can you see the Lord taking care of him here? He's a prisoner! When they were in the ship that was getting beaten up and destroyed, they threw all the food out. I mean, they took and had a meal and got full, but then after that, they lightened the ship and threw everything out. The Lord took care of this man being a prisoner. I wonder if he can take care of us. Listen, Paul lived his life in danger all the time. I've never taken a stripe for Christ. Think about that for a minute. And you need to put this on your life. I've never taken a stripe for Christ. I've never taken a stone for Christ. Good Lord, the most I've ever taken from Christ is somebody back-talking me. Or backbiting me. That's the worst I've ever had to go through as a Christian. The worst. Can you imagine being bound? You're headed to death. That's what you're going to get. And Paul, be of good cheer. Paul, the Lord will take care of us. Paul, the Lord will give us food of these barbarians for 3 months and then send us off with everything we need. Paul, going to these different places, was encouraged by what he found as a prisoner. Look at what it says. We came to Rome. The centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. He's not even blaming his nation for anything here. Do you see the humility of this man? He's not even angry with the people that are trying to kill him. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. What's the hope of Israel? Hold on to that thought for a minute. Hold on to that thought. And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither of any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. That's a lie. Not everywhere. There's people that believe in Christ. Amen. Don't think for 1 minute that, well, independent fundamentalists, woe is me. We've got nobody else around that believes like we do. Don't believe that for a minute. It's a devil's lie. There are independent fundamental Baptists out there. There are people that still believe in this old King James Bible. Don't you think for 1 minute it gets you discouraged. Oh, woe is me. We can't make it. No, we've already got the victory. The Lord gave it to us a long time ago. And there's lots of churches out there that still believe in that old book. There's lots of churches out there that aren't taking anything away from it or adding anything to it. There's lots of churches out there that are still getting people saved. Don't you worry about that. When they appointed him a day, verse 23, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed, after that Paul had spoken one word. I want you to read that again. When they agreed not among themselves, they departed. Why? Because Paul spoke one word. He turned to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. We're not going to turn there, but that's where he went. Well spake of the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers. He said to them, well spoke. Hey, this is what the Holy Ghost said. I want you to hear this. Saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and not understand. Hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see and not perceive. Festus almost got saved. Agrippa almost got saved. They heard, they saw, but they didn't take. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. Think about that for a minute. I mean, those words are sobering enough. And then the Jews still, you know what, I don't know. I know it was written in the book of Isaiah, I understand that, but you know what, I don't know if that's what that means. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, doing what? Preaching. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. I'm sorry, I got excited about this a little bit. Paul, remember what he was bound for? He was bound in their eyes for preaching blasphemy. We learned that what they thought blasphemy, he deemed worship. Remember that? See, a lot of folks say it's blasphemy to hold on to the King James Bible. I call it worship. They say it's blasphemy. I call it worship. They say God can't give us a book. Oh, yes, he did. Not that he can. He did. They say it's blasphemy to believe in the blood atonement. I say it's worship. They say it's blasphemy to say that the Lord was born of a virgin. I say it's worship. See, a lot of folks out there put different spins on what the Lord did, and they call what we believe heresy. We call it worship. You got to understand that. Paul is bound for that which is right. Paul is bound for Christ. He's bound for the hope of Israel. You said it yourself. What is the hope of Israel? It's Jesus Christ. The hope of all men is Jesus Christ. Paul was bound for Christ. And while he's being bound for Christ, while he's taken from place to place, amazing how the Lord put his hand on him everywhere he went. The Lord did great and wonderful miracles through him everywhere he went because he was humble enough to realize that he was bound for Christ. See, there's days when persecution comes. There's days when persecution comes, and it's amazing how we as humans sometimes use persecution. Hear this now, this is going to sound a little bit different, but I believe this is true. A lot of times we view persecution and use it as, well, I've suffered a lot for Christ. Think about that for a minute. Seriously. Oh, I've suffered. I've suffered for the Lord. I'm going to be honest with you. I follow Paul's life. We've lived in a Cadillac. Well, I've never been bound. But if somebody, a preacher gets thrown in jail, it's amazing how his testimony now becomes important. Now, hey, I'm just thinking with my head here. It's amazing how we'll use our martyrdom to say, well, I must be close to God because I'm suffering. It's amazing that Paul constantly says, these sufferings that we have right now are nothing to be compared with the glory that's in heaven. Paul never complained about his suffering. Paul never went from place to place saying, I have suffered. Paul said, oh, I've had stripes. I've had shipwreck. I've been beaten and stoned. Left for dead. But I don't count any of that worthy to be compared to why I'm bound. I got to thinking about that. Paul, being bound, desperately desired the Jewish people to get saved, desperately. Paul so much wanted them to be saved that he was willing to trade his life in eternity and spend an eternity in hell if his brethren would be saved. That's what he desired. Would you be willing to trade your life in eternity for anybody? I wouldn't be willing to trade heaven for anybody. And it's amazing to me that Paul says, I'm willing to, the very people that are putting me in shackles, the very people that are against what Jesus Christ is trying to do, those people with tears day and night, I witnessed to them day and night. I told them day and night I desired them to be saved, day and night. I love how humble Paul is. Throughout all the scriptures, everything he speaks of is humility. I would to God I could be that humble. I would to God I could make it to where every day is wonderful in Christ. Being in the Praetorian prison, fecal matter up to his waist, living in foul, he's singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Living in a terrible position, the soldiers mean to him, beat with stripes. He's saying, fear not, no one's leaving this prison. I got somebody to witness to in here. Glory to God, we go from day to day to day. Woe is me, Christian life. I can't drink my alcohol anymore. Woe is me. I can't listen to my dirty rock music anymore. Woe, and I said dirty rock music. I hope you heard that today. And glory to God, I can't believe that I've got to live this goody two-shoes life where I might have to dress right, not wear my mini skirts up to my upper thigh. I'm so sad today that I've got to do things that, good Lord, have mercy, we're prisoners for Christ. I wonder if we're going to start living our lives that way. We're prisoners. But we're prisoners of the greatest jail keeper in the whole wide universe. Warden, lead me to the hooskow. Paul, bound, gets to stay in his own residence. Think about that for a minute. Come on, think with me a little bit. I got excited about this. Paul's bound, and he's a prisoner. People didn't like Paul. Thank God. They don't like porcupine preachers. They don't. Thank God. He's walking through. Hey, man, I got my own house. Come on in and see me. I got my own apartment. Come on in. Let me mix you up some fish. And I would never go for fish. You'd probably make me meatloaf. But come on in. I want to talk to you about the kingdom of God. You're a prisoner, Paul. I know, but I'm a prisoner of the greatest warden in the whole universe. Here's what's amazing. He had his own residence being a prisoner. The Lord's preparing us our own residence. Amen. As prisoners for him. He's preparing us our own place. He's preparing us a place for the ones that are willing to be humble. Think about that for a minute. You had to humble yourself to get saved. I don't care what anybody says. You had to realize you're a sinner. A lot of people have a hard time envisioning them being a sinner. I didn't. I was wicked. I knew it. Let me explain something to you. I'm still wicked. I still need the Lord every single day, more now than I ever have, it seems like. Have you ever, I love to hear people, I am very close to God, walking with Jesus. That's all I am, walking with God. Let me write a book to tell you how to walk with God. Let me explain something to you. Paul knew it. That's why I love Paul. No, but don't talk to me about walking with God until you've read about Paul. Don't talk to me about walking with God until you're willing to admit, oh, wretched man that I am. Don't talk to me about getting close to God until you're willing to realize that you've got no business being close to God. Yet God still wants you to be close to him. Can you grab a hold of that, Christian, today? Paul enters Rome bound. We're going to enter heaven and have our own place. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm a prisoner. It's true. Thank God I am free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah. But while we're here, the Bible says, I love this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. The Lord has bound us, but what a great warden we have. Paul knew it. Paul knew it. There's nothing worth living for if you don't have Christ. Paul desired everyone to know. And I'm going to be honest with you. I never thought about it this way until I realized that he was bound for the hope of Israel, bound for Christ. We're prisoners. I'm so thankful to be a prisoner. I'm so thankful to be bound by Christ. Make this statement, I'm all done. Listen to me. Every one of us in here, every single person in this room right now, has a wonderful will laid out for them by your warden. See, we have no problem getting saved. We have a hard time living for him after we're saved. It's about that believing and actually being a Christian. I've talked to lots of people. They said they regretted not living for Christ sooner. Wasted years. But I've never heard one, never have I heard one say that I regret living for him.
Amen.
Not one. We're bound. You've been bought with a price. You've been bought with a price. If somebody on this earth died for you, you would do everything you could in your power to take care of their family, to take care of whatever they would need from here on out. They died for you. You would certainly try to take care of them. They died for you on this physical world that's only going to last a little while. Christ died for you for eternity. Don't you think we should be bound to him? Don't you think we're bound? We're bound to do what he would want us to do? Don't you think that that's right? Thank God I'm a prisoner. There's going to be a day when I get to heaven. You won't be able to stand me for the shouting. Thank God. I thank God that I heard. I heard and I understood and I accepted the Lord as my Savior. Make me a prisoner for him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for the study of Paul. We didn't even scratch the surface of this man. We didn't even scratch the surface. But Lord, one thing I recognize throughout all of his ministry is his humility. Lord, I don't believe that there was a more humble man, maybe Moses. But Lord, this is a man that lived in a day and age where people saw things and they concocted these ideas of men being gods. And Paul lived his life understanding that he was a prisoner bound for you. I would to God we would understand that we need to be prisoners bound for you. We are bought with a price. Our life is not our own. How can we dare say that our life is our own? It's amazing, as humans, we are still prideful. Even saved humans, we are still full of pride to where we believe that we can do anything we want to and it's okay. Lord God, make us humble. Lord God, do something miraculous in our lives to get us closer to you. Because Lord, getting closer to you, you come face to face with the realization of an amazing truth that we are so undone, that we are so unworthy, we are so dirty before an almighty, clean, and holy God, yet you still desire us to be close to you. Lord, be with these people today. Love them from heaven. Let them know that you love them. And Lord, be with us in the preaching hour. I'm so thankful that my pastor's healed up and back with us. Lord, be with him. Touch his body that he doesn't get sick ever again, because we sure do need him here. Lord, be with us today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.